Galatians chapter 2 and verses 17 to the end of the chapter. I want to call this our cross, his life. Why? Because, as Jesus said, we all have our own cross to bear. We need to take up our own cross. We need to take up our cross and follow him. Each one of our lives is different. Each one of our lives is unique. We all have our own situations we come from. We all have our own cross to bear. We all have our own sinful life. We all come from our own past. We all come from a different background. We all have a different history. That's why it's called history, because his story is not the same as my story. Right? Okay. Or her story. Okay, it doesn't work for her. It works for his story. His story is his story. My story is my story. Her story is her story. All right? You get it? All right, I got it. But that is why we all have our own cross. We all have a unique situation that we come from that needs to be forgiven just as much as the next person. We all also have our own situation that has been formed in our life because of that sin. We have habits in our life. We have a way that we have grown accustomed to living. We have also certain scars in our life because of that sin that was in our life. Even though we have been forgiven and also that sin has been removed, so to speak, we still have scars, we still have habits that have been formed because of those things that have been forgiven, removed. There's still some healing that needs to be done. Still some healing that needs to take place. And that's part of the cross bearing. His life. That's a different story. And we'll get to that. Let's read our scripture. And we're going to read out of the Message this morning. Have some of you noticed that we are not yet perfect? No great surprise, right? And are you ready to make the accusation that since people like me who go through Christ in order to get things right with God aren't perfectly virtuous, Christ must therefore be an accessory to sin? The accusation is frivolous. If I was trying to be good, I would be rebuilding the same old barn that I tore down. I would be acting as a charlatan. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to go back on that. Is it not clear to you that to go back to the old, that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? I refuse to do that, to repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. That says it all. It says a lot. It says it all. But what is all? What is it all? What it is saying is, Paul is trying to make clear that, hey, out of all the people out there who try to live a good, virtuous life, and if you know what, if you got into heaven by being a good person, playing by the rules, I'm the man. I was the one that was going to get there. But that ain't it. Nobody gets to heaven by being good. Nobody gets to heaven by keeping the rules. That's not it. Nobody gets there by that. It's only by being saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Period. It's through this personal and free relationship with God. That's the only way. So, we have this cross, our own cross. We have this life that, you know, Paul's life was a life that was, as he said it, I was the Pharisee of Pharisees. I lived a spotless, blemishless life according to the law. But you know, that still wasn't good enough to get me into heaven. That still wasn't what it was all about. I found that out. I was living an empty, hollow, religious life. I had no relationship whatsoever with God. And God, from day one with Adam and Eve, had always wanted a relationship with His creation. And somewhere along the line, we missed it. And tried to find a way to make it easy on us to get back into God's good graces, not into the relationship. We wanted to get into God's good graces, but we didn't necessarily want the relationship. We wanted the cake to eat, but we didn't want to have to bake it. You see, somewhere along the line, humanity always will do what humanity does. Just like electricity follows the path of least resistance. The path of least resistance for us is, you know what? Sin. It's easy. All right, well, find out that, you know what? God doesn't like sin. All right, well, we'll do good then. No, God doesn't want us to do good. God wants us to not sin, but have a relationship with Him. Okay, well, we'll not sin. We'll try to have a relationship with Him, but God, give us some sort of standards by which to have this relationship. Okay, well, I'll give you the law, and I'll give you this whole way of worshiping me through the Levitical law. And what God laid down as a way by which the Jewish people could enter into a close relationship with Him, they turned around and twist it into something that was never intended to be. They said, all right, well, this is great. Now we have a list of do's and don'ts. We got a checklist to live by. Whereas God was saying, very clearly, you know what? In your relationship with me, the great Shema, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Period. And then everything else after that, really, is insignificant without that first part. What he wanted us to see is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then, because you're doing this, everything else that is laid out as law, whether it be the Ten Commandments or whether it be Levitical law that says, you know what, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that, or whatever, you're going to automatically fall in line with, because you're loving me so much, it's going to be a natural reaction in your life. What I call the necessary side effects of loving God. You got a list of side effects that they put on your prescription sheet. Things that you look out for if something's going wrong. Well, basically, the Ten Commandments is a list of side effects of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's not if something goes wrong, it's something goes right. If I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I'm not going to bear false witness. I'm not going to covet my neighbor's stuff. I'm not going to murder. So on and so forth. It's going to be a natural reaction. So, our cross to bear is, first and foremost, getting rid of that sin out of our life. Second, it's beginning to love God like we mean it, with an intent focused heart that you know just puts everything else aside and says, God is my number one priority in life, period. Everything else will then fall in place where it should be then. You put God in His proper place, in the proper position in life, everything else will fall into its proper place automatically. Everything else will fall into perspective. So as we build into that relationship, then those things, those scars in life, those habits that were formed by that sin will start to fall away. The scars will not be so painful anymore. They won't be so apparent. They will start to fade, start to heal. But it takes that first step to say, God, I need you. I'm a sinner. I need you to heal me of this thing called sin. And then I want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that can only happen as I come into a relationship with you. Lord, help me to get as close to you as I possibly can. Crucified with Christ. Then, the crucifixion of ourself can happen. On our own cross, we become crucified with Him. But then, as I said, His life. Because He lives, we too can live. Because He conquered death, we too have a new life. Not the same old life, a rebirth, a renewing of ourself. The cross, we are crucified with Him, we are resurrected by Him. Ourselves we need to surrender. It means a willful giving over of ourselves, not to just something, not to just someone, not to just anything, but to Him. We need to purposely seek His will. Every day, wake up. God, what is Your will for me today? That doesn't mean you just sit there and wait for it to come. Lord, just guide me today. I want to know what Your will is for me today. And get up and go. And listen and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's guiding. And serve in love. Serve Him in love. The necessary side effects would be that, you know what? You said it the last couple weeks in the book of James. James, the model for us, we will, because of our love for God, we will automatically start serving Him through acts of love. Acts of love for Him reflected in acts of love towards our fellow mankind, humanity, man, woman, whatever. I don't want anybody saying, oh, He didn't say woman. He didn't say man. He said man. Okay. But I don't think that's the issue here. Okay, moving on. Life. Life is about living, right? Learning every day. Instilling Himself, putting Himself, putting Jesus into everything I do. Next, it's forgetting about the past. It's been crucified. It's done. It's a new life. We're a new creation. We're moving forward. And then finally, we are encouraged by hope. We move forward, we look forward, and we go forward. We don't look back. We just keep going forward. So, this is His life. Devoted to learning more and more about Him every day. Instilling Himself into all that I am, all that you are, all that we can be. Trying to each and every day forget about the past and move forward, allowing ourselves to be healed of the past scars, the past habits. And then encouraging ourselves by looking forward to the hope that is in Christ Jesus. So, as we look at the Scripture again, once more. want to just go right to this. Right there. I identified myself completely with him down at the bottom. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. That phrase right there. Notice, it says, I'm not out to impress anybody. I'm not even out to impress God. Because it's not about impressing anybody. It's not about putting on a good face. It's not about doing good deeds. It's not about works. It's about living a life that is honest, true, good in the heart. Not good on the surface, superficial. Not trying to just fool people by looking good. Not even trying to just get good marks in God's book by following the law to the letter. But following God in my heart. Period. And that's it. It's all about the heart. There's an old saying that says the toughest 18 inches to travel is from here to here. Because you may have it all here, but if it doesn't get to here and flow from here, it doesn't mean anything. And you may have it all here, and if you can't get it to come to here and change the way you think and act about things, it's going to be a long time before you actually change the way you see life. The two have to go both ways. That's why Paul says it's a renewing of the mind and also a change of life, a new life, a rebirth. Paul said that it was a recreation and a renewing. It has to be both. It can't be one or the other or either or. It has to be both. So, the last verse says, if a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. This statement just says everything as far as it goes for a concept of works salvation mentality. A works salvation mentality says basically there was no need for Jesus to die on the cross. And if there was no need for Jesus to die on the cross, there was no need for Jesus to be born. There was no need for Jesus to live amongst us. There was no need for Jesus to exist. Therefore, there was no need for God to exist. Therefore, we can just do everything ourselves. Therefore, you are your own God. You see where this is going? It snowballs into a whole humanist mentality. You be your own God. You can do it. That's not it. That's not the answer. The answer is, we need God. God provided a way for us to be saved from ourselves and our sin, and that was through Jesus. And because we are saved from ourselves and our sin, we have a new life and a new way of seeing things, and because of that, our relationship with God motivates us to love others as ourselves also. And that's where the second commandment that Jesus said was just as important as the first. And that is what compels us to do the good works that we do. It's not the other way around. So, as we consider what it means to be crucified with Christ, yet be alive with Him, remember, it was our cross, it was His life.